The Cuban government turned to an increasingly common tactic in an attempt to shut down public protests. It turned off the internet. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. This week in Cuba, journalists, influencers, and regular citizens were posting online scenes from the country's largest anti-government protests in decades. That is, until the government restricted access to a number of social media platforms. According to the internet monitoring firm NetBlox, Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, and WhatsApp were all disrupted. Their reports access returned by midweek. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Isabella Alcaniz is director of the Latin American and Caribbean Studies Center at the University of Maryland.
The Cuban government has a lot of control over internet access in Cuba for many different reasons, one of which is that the internet is quite recent in the island. I think the internet and social media helped organize the protests. Typically, social media can be key to early development of a social movement.
This kind of tactic echoes what we saw a lot during the Arab Spring over in the Middle East. The fact that this is being deployed in Cuba, is that a signal that they've learned something from those experiences?
I think this is a common tool of leaders who are either outright authoritarian or are very heavy-handed. But we've also seen it recently in democratic India, right, where Prime Minister Modi has used the shutdown of either sites on the internet or full access to the internet against numerous protests, including the very recent protest of farmers against the government.
Besides creating this outage for Cuban residents, this also prevented relatives in the U.S. from communicating with their family members, and Cuban Americans have a lot of political power, especially in places like Florida. What have you learned about the way that Cubans use the internet to connect with family members abroad, and how this outage, even if it was temporary, affected their communication?
This is a major disruption, right? Because the shutdown has made it hard for relatives to speak with their family members, with their close friends on the island. And we should remember that it's not just a political protest that is happening in Cuba, but there's a pandemic raging. It has been getting worse, right? So the Cuban government has seen a rise in cases of infection and sick and deaths as well. So you can imagine that you have relatives across the world, not just in the United States, concerned for the health of their family members and friends, given the COVID pandemic. And then on top of that, the economic fallout because of the pandemic is being felt hard. And I would say this is one of the reasons why we see these protests right now. And this is also a matter of concern for family members that live abroad, because they want to know how the families are surviving right now.
How important is regular access to the internet to the everyday lives of Cubans?
So while the extraordinary growth of Cubans accessing the internet in just a few years tells you that the internet is an important part of their lives, it is not used as much as it is elsewhere. It's a new good and a new service that Cubans appreciate a lot. And especially with the pandemic, the use of the internet has become essential, but you still have a large percentage of the population that does not either have direct access to the internet or does not need to access the internet. Again, not to say that they're not great costs, and a particular communication cost for the protesters, for their political goals, but also at a more basic level, just to be in touch with family during a very, very dire time.
Isabella Alcaniz is at the University of Maryland. And now for some related links. Well, today it's related audio. When I was speaking with Isabella Alcaniz, she gave me some background on the history of the internet in Cuba.
Cuba started its access to the internet in about the same time that most of Latin American countries did, so in the mid-1990s. But whereas it progressed very quickly in other parts of the region, it slowed to a crawl in Cuba. In 2016, so before the current president was elected, Google signed an agreement with the Cuban government, and that kind of triggered a growth of the internet, and especially disaggregating the different ways in which Cubans can access the internet. So until basically 2015, it was all through the government, through like Wi-Fi cards that were very expensive. And then in 2018, and this is really the most important piece, cellular data, so mobile internet, is allowed. And that was really mostly uncensored.
And here in the U.S., we talked last week about the Department of Defense creating a new contract for its cloud computing needs. The old project used the acronym JEDI, and we asked you for your ideas for a new acronym. One listener suggested Local Organizational Knowledge Integration, or Loki, after the Marvel character and god of mischief, in case you have limited nerd cred. And Dean in Pittsburgh went in a different direction altogether.
My suggestion for the new name for their cloud computing is Hootenanny. Why? Because it has nothing to do with anything. It's just a random silly word. Hootenanny. Don't ask me how to spell it.
Let us know your ideas for this or any other thing that's on your mind. Call or text 802-877-TECH. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produce the show. Our engineer is Justin Dueler. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.